Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. It's my pleasure to share up more private practice stories and wisdom in this, our third season. My guests are generous, creative, and honest. It has been such a joy to be able to hold these conversations and capture these moments for your listening pleasure. We're sure that you'll really enjoy these unplugged chats and these private practice heart-to-hearts. So settle in, let's get the conversation started. Sonia Walker is the founding director of Kids First Children's Services on the Northern Beaches in Sydney. In the last 10 days, she has launched her first book. In this conversation, you will hear about that amazing book and you'll hear about her future plans for following books, which I was delighted to hear. You'll hear about her week, her 60 to 70 hour week, what happens in that week, the marketing, the people, the value of the daily huddle with her team. But best of all, you will hear about her values-based business and its commitment to serving those values throughout the business. So lots to be listened to in this conversation. I know you'll enjoy this one. Go for it. Today on the podcast, I am anticipating a bit of a roller coaster of a conversation with With me is Sonia Walker, the founding director of Kids First Children's Services in Sydney. So, Sonia, how's your week been?
Busy, Kathy. As any pediatric practice owner would know, it's always busy at the start of a term. There's always action going on with children and families and staff, and then there's your own life that's going on parallel to that. So, yeah, it's been good.
Good. A couple of parallel universes. Give us a little bit of a 101 on your business.
Okay, so Kids First Children's Services is a multidisciplinary pediatric practice in Sydney's Northern Beaches. For the last 11 years, the psychologists, speech pathologists, occupational therapists and teachers that I work with have supported more than 11,000 local children and their families. I'm a teacher with 30 years experience and I'm also the mother of a child with unique needs. So I've sat on both sides of the desk at parent-teacher meetings. I know what it feels like to be desperately worried about a child whose needs are a little bit sensitive. And so we bring all of that to the table to the families that we support. We also have a very active and popular community service program that we have been running for more than a decade in our local area, supporting families and educators and anybody else in the community who needs support when it comes to children's learning and development.
Amazing, amazing. So is it what you anticipated it would be those years ago when you started?
Oh, goodness. If I'd known
in 2007 here we go,
that I would have 21 staff, I would have probably run for the hills then. It certainly has turned out to be a bigger operation and undertaking than I could have ever imagined. It's incredibly rewarding to be able to do the things that we do together. It's also very, very hard work, as anybody who works in this industry would understand. It's incredibly challenging at times to support the complexity of families and children's needs. It can be difficult to try to juggle the needs of the practice and the needs of the people who work in the practice. There's always that people element that makes life interesting. And then you throw in things like compliance and all of the other bits and pieces. Yeah, all of that kind of thing that goes with it. And of course, as a female running a business, it has that extra level of of challenge when you are, as you say, got parallel universes. You're trying to be a parent, you're trying to be a wife, you're trying to be a friend, you're trying to be a daughter, in addition to working, you know, easily 70, 80 hours a week for nearly 12 years in my case.
It's remarkable that you say that. I'm thinking of all the tens of conversations I've had on the podcast, and you and one other person who isn't an Allied Health business owner, so you're the first Allied Health business owner that has remarked on the contrast to potentially being a woman and at the helm of a sizable business as well. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that I can only speak from my own experience, Kathy, but, you know, I have always done my best to be on top of everything that's in my life. And as a female, I think that I do carry an extra level of responsibility for my own family that comes into play. And I think that often women run business or have an approach to their business that can be a little different from men. We have four core values at Kids First, and they are care, kindness, compassion, and making a contribution. And so on an emotional and social level, I endeavour every day to support my colleagues and my clients, and to give them the best of me that I can give. Maybe that's not female, maybe that's just me, but it's certainly been my experience that I try to give the best of me to everybody, and at times the person who's on the end of the priority line is, of course, me.
Yep, that happens. So in this adventure that is private practice, what have the highlights been over the decade-ish?
Highlights. Look, there are the tiny moments where you know that you've made a difference. The children whose challenges have been overcome, the parents who have taken you in their arms and sobbed as they've thanked me for the things that Kids First has done. A highlight was literally last Tuesday night when I launched my first book. That was a very overwhelming and quite humbling experience to see that more than 80 people would gather in a room with a glass of wine in their hands on a winter's night in Sydney to celebrate something that I'd done. And I'm very proud of the book. I wasn't expecting to feel this way about the book. But when I look at what it is already doing, and how it is already supporting children and families, and as I pack books into envelopes and send them to therapists who are working in rural areas. Just yesterday I packed up a whole bunch of books, and they went to as far away as Gunnedah and Bunbury in Western Australia. They're going to rural Queensland. So it's nice to know that maybe this particular brand of support that I have to share is not just going to be a local thing anymore. Maybe that I can do some good a little bit further afield through School Ready, which is the name of the book, and perhaps other things that we can tackle in the future.
Yeah. Congratulations on the book. I am absolutely certain those 80 people were there for the book, not for the wine.
Well, we ran out of wine.
Actually. Oh, that is my sort of party.
We had to do a run for champagne. and it was a Tuesday night, you know, like.
You are loving your friends.
I love them too.
Listeners are going to be wondering about the book. Give us the title. And as you know, despite all our mutual best efforts, I haven't read the book yet, but I know it's going to be in my post office box when I beetle down there this afternoon. Tell us about the book and why you did it and what people are going to love about it.
So the book is called School Ready, And the tagline is a practical and supportive guide for parents with sensitive kids. I've been a teacher, as I mentioned, for 30 years. So from both a professional perspective and a personal perspective, I know what it's like to worry, lie awake at night and worry about a child who is starting school. And in my work at Kids First Children's Services, we support children right from being babies all the way through to the end of their school journey at the end of high school. So I see the level of stress that transitions make and give to families. And so I wanted to share, I guess, in the spirit of encouragement, strategies and perspectives on the experience of starting school that was a little bit different from the stereotypical lunchboxes, library bags and early literacy kind of approach to school readiness. Often we see and hear a lot of stuff about what children should be able to do. You know, they should be able to hold their pencil in a certain way and they should be able to say certain sounds and they should have the social and emotional maturity to do X, Y and Z. And that's all true. But at the end of the day, there are mothers and fathers and other carers who are desperately, desperately anxious about how their slightly left of centre or slightly anxious child will fare when they go to the first year of school. And so School Ready is not necessarily written for families who have children with special needs, but rather I've called them kids with unique needs. They may be families who have anxious children, children who have sensory processing difficulties. Maybe they're the parents of children who are bilingual, kids who are twins and triplets, children whose parents are a little bit older and their child is this precious gift and they're desperate to make sure that they get it right. It's for those families who approach going to school with some trepidation, for families who think deeply about the decisions that they're making. And sometimes as a teacher, I know that those families in their earnestness, in their desperate attempts to try and make everything work when they go to school, they're often misinterpreted by teachers, and they can quite easily put a step wrong that can then influence how they are perceived at school. And so this book is a step-by-step guide for making, helping children to make the best possible start. We deal with things like what questions to ask when you go to school so that you get the information you need to make an informed choice for your child. The book deals with how to find friendships and acceptance, not just for your child, but for you as the parent who is standing awkwardly in the playground hoping that you're going to find someone who's on the same wavelength as you. School Ready also provides information for parents about how to have conversations with the school, how to have a successful parent-teacher meeting, why you don't always go to the principal first, you know, what's the appropriate
channel.
It's a little bit like that. It is those kind of insider secrets that I can share as a teacher, but flipping it on its head so that parents understand how they can develop those positive relationships and why those positive relationships with teachers and schools are so very important for not just their child, but for them, because they're going to be in that environment for a long time. Yeah. I liken going to school a little bit like going to a foreign country. It's a little bit like going to Japan for the first time. Now, if you're completely unfamiliar with the language, you don't understand the culture, it's very easy to make a social faux pas that's going to follow you for your entire journey. And for me, writing a book like School Ready, which has chapters on things like feeding fussy eaters and how to manage separation anxiety and the unspoken worries like toileting and kids with sensory processing difficulties, putting it all together in one place so that parents and educators and therapists have a little bit of a resource that they can go to and they can say, look, to a parent, have a little look at this. This explains a little bit about what we see for your child and here's how you could you know, tackle that as you head off to school. Here's the way to have the conversation with the school. Here's what to say to the school teacher who is standing over the lunch, the garbage bin, making everybody eat everything that's in their lunchbox before they are allowed to go off to play. If you have a fussy eater, that can cause enormous stress. So the book has lots and lots of really, really practical advice as well as downloadable resources.
Yes, so, I wanted to ask you about them because was privy to the PDF copies. So there's extra bonus material. What's that about?
So families or purchasers of the book can pop in their little code and they can jump onto the bonus school-ready what's it called? The book's called School Ready Toolkit. We have a School Ready Toolkit and they can download a variety of other resources such as a very comprehensive speech and language skills checklist. There's a school story where they can jump in, pop their own photographs of their child, and then they've got a social story that they can use with their child that's specific to them. There's friendship skills, checklists and ideas for making new friends. There's separation anxiety tips. There's all sorts of bits and pieces that come as extra bonuses when people purchase the book.
Oh, it's just so exciting.
It's a bit different. I've been pleasantly surprised by the reaction of people who have read the book. It's only been out for a very short time, but is already making a few waves. I'm starting to get inquiries internationally as well. And, you know, for families who are expats who are working and living overseas but returning to Australia or people who are coming here for the first time, they've got to get their children to school. And the way we do school in Australia is quite different to other parts of the world. So I'm hoping that it's got that kind of universal supportive appeal language. And that it will and it is, it's, look, you're listening to me speak now, it's just written like I speak.
Heaven help us.
Exactly. And it's got lots of personal anecdotes too, and the book also has little case studies. So I give de-identified, obviously, families who have been the kinds of children that we're thinking of when we think about children whose needs are a little, they're subtle differences sometimes. They're not always very overt differences. Mm. Sometimes they're subtle. But that still means that parents who have children who are sensitive need that little bit of extra advice and support that they may not ask at orientation days or during the school tours. So hopefully this will equip them to know how to approach those kinds of early opportunities with teachers with more confidence. And then they can get the clarity and the certainty that they need as they make those decisions for their child.
Yeah. Well, you are quite the pin-up girl for children's services and allied health and educators. I hear quite often from people I talk to, oh, I'd love to write a book, but you've gone and done it. So we will include all the details and the links in the show notes and make it super, super easy to help get those books out of your garage and into the post and onto people's desks. And we've been promoting across social media this morning to support you. So well done.
It's very exciting. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we're hoping it makes a difference. It's part of our core values.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us a little bit about your week. What does your week look like? Because you are a business owner and an educator and an author, and then you've got your personal parallel universe. How does your week hang together?
My week hangs together often on a string.
Bit of blue tack
and a couple of bits of duct tape. Look, my week would not happen without the support of the people around me. I have an amazing husband who is a fabulous man who helps me at home. He's working full-time too. We have a 17-year-old who's in his last year of school. in his last term of school at the moment. So we're and he's a boy who, as I mentioned, is a sensitive kid. So we've got all of that happening at home. I have a wonderful practice manager at Kids First whose name is Kim. And Kim is my right-hand woman, and she supports me amazingly well. But, you know, in any given week, Kathy, I am responsible for keeping all of the wheels on the big yellow bus that is Kids First. So just this week, just this morning, I'm involved, I'm coordinating all of our marketing to our community through our social media and also through our email magazine that we send out every week. So I have over 5,500 subscribers to Kids First email magazine that goes out most weeks on a Tuesday. So I do all of that. I have the wonderful assistance of a wonderful VA who has in the past 12 months or so taken some of the processes from me and who I am very confident has my back. So, you know, marketing involves everything from promoting our this week. Okay, let's talk about this week. What day is it? Okay, there's a lot.
It's Friday.
There's a lot that's happened this week. But, you know, last
thought
night,
there might have been.
Yeah. Like, I've got a community service seminar that we are going to be sending out to our families next week. It's about managing mean kids and playground politics. And we have a psychologist who's going to be talking about that. So I'm doing all of the back end of that, the website, the posters, the emails to our preschools, our schools, to our families, all of the stuff that goes into the back end of doing that, organising the presentations, organising the venues, organising the take-home resources that our guests take with them and everything that goes with doing an event. I've got HR. Private practice.
Always a thing.
Know what that's all about, you know. I work predominantly with women, although I am very fortunate to have males on the Kids First team as well. So we have some male teachers and male speech pathologists. It's great to have them as part of the mix. But, you know, I'm always dealing with supporting people's performance and helping them to try to manage the juggle that is their lives. I'm teaching. Still,
I was wondering about that.
Do love to teach the kids. At the moment, I'm covering from one of my teachers who's on long service leave. She's away overseas and I am teaching her classes. So her children are getting a bit of a taste of Auntie Sonia and it's freaking them out just a little bit. But I'm a fairly animated kind of teacher. I'm not the sort of teacher who can sit down. So we have a small group tuition program that's part of Kids First. And so in addition to teaching my own classes, I tend to look after some of the older children when it comes to their literacy and their English, because way, 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 way back in 1988, I started as an English teacher. I've also been teaching primary school maths, and I've even been working with our selective schools and scholarship children over the past couple of days. And I actually do love it. I do love being with the kids. Mm. It's what I was kind of born to do. So, my week's full of all sorts of things. My week is also spent talking to early educators, giving them support and advice when they call in for help. I speak with a lot of doctors. We deal with the NDIS.
Oh, I was waiting for that to come
up. Ad infinitum. Technical issues, you know, computers that go down, internets that run slow, things that break, something that needs to be purchased because the OTs need new resources, or just running to the rescue when a little person is having a meltdown and needs an extra pair of hands and a calm voice and lots of empathy to support them. Every day at Kids First we have a daily huddle where we remind ourselves of our values and what we're here for and the things we're grateful for, and share what our priorities are for the day and ask if we need any help. So does that give you a little bit of an idea?
Yeah, that's going to add up to 60 to 70 hours.
Easy. Easy. I left the office last night at 10:40.
Yes, I know.
trying to send you stuff when I realise that the emails are sending.
I know. So I guess another conversation is where your clone is going to come from, but that could get complicated. So you've got your beautiful team and your business, and now your book. What have you learned as a business owner? What has the business taught you in the last few years?
I think the key learning for me is having a values-based business.
Yeah.
Has ultimately been the thing that has set Kids First Children's Services on its road, on its journey. We work in an area of Sydney where there's lots and lots of fabulous therapists who do a great job. I've learned that recruiting staff who share those core values is key to being able to provide the kind of high quality service that I envisage giving to families. And I think that that's probably been the biggest learning for me. I am immensely proud of our current team and of the human beings that they are. I often get compliments from parents and educators. We had an evening just this week. We did a big community service seminar about school readiness, and I was speaking to the director of a preschool who came to one of our events for the very first time, and the next morning she called to compliment us on the program and on the caliber of the team that I have been fortunate to gather around me. And I think that that's probably, at the end of the day, when you run a business, there are always operational necessities that are part of running a business. It's not all roses, and we know that. But when people share your mission and your vision, it's easy to come to work with them every day. It makes it easy to affirm them in what they do. And it also makes it easier to, when we have to, chat about maybe performance or issues. We do that in the understanding that we value one another and that those conversations are held with respect.
Respect, yeah. Yeah.
I think that's probably the biggest learning so far.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you figure out what your values were?
That's an excellent question. I think that I'm an old woman, 52 now, so I've been around for a while.
Not so old. And, just saying, Sonia, not so old.
Yeah.
Not so old, girlfriend.
Still got a few legs left in me. But look, I think it was just a matter of sitting down, and I thought that care, kindness, and compassion were very much the characteristics that I have personally. And making a contribution is something that I was raised to do from a small child. I'm a teacher. Teachers are by nature often quite bossy. We like to be the boss of the room, and I started very early being bossy. In the back of the book, there's a photograph of me when I was 2.5, and I'm standing there at my blackboard with my furry skirt on, and out of shot is my brother and all of my teddy bears who I had lined up, and I used to play schools and I used to boss him around until he discovered matchbox cars, and that was the end of that. But even as a little girl, I used to round all the neighborhood kids up and do things for charity in the school holidays. So I think I was raised to be the kind of person who didn't just sit on the sidelines. I was always raised to be the person who, if you saw something that needed doing, you did it. And certainly throughout my entire professional life, that has been me. And so having that opportunity to bring making a contribution into my work has been transformative for me, and having the opportunity to do that as a business leader being able to call the shots in that way has been very rewarding. So we've been doing community service work for a very, very long time. That gives us the opportunity to support families in our community who perhaps might not be able to come to private practice, who might not have the capacity to do that. But we're still able to share what we know and what we have with them so that they are able to be resourced in some small way. We're able to share our skills and knowledge with early educators, who I often think are some of the most under-resourced professionals in the education sector. They just don't get the amount of support that they need, and they have a very challenging job. And now through a relationship that we have with an organisation called B1G1, we support children and families in countries where there is desperate need. And so for every person who comes to one of our community service seminars, we give 30 days of water to families who need that life-saving support in other parts of the world. And for every child who comes to us for the first time, we give 30 days of grain to a family where food might not be easy to come by. Mm. And so since we began that program, we call it Therapists for Good. Since we began that program in March this year, 2018, we've made more than 26,000 positive impacts on the lives of children and families who are beyond our boundaries in Sydney's Northern Beaches, but for whom in some small way we can make a difference. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that just quietly we as a team enjoy doing. And we hope that that, you know, in some small way resonates with the families that we work with close to home.
Yeah, I love it. I was hoping you'd get to B1G1 or else I was going to mention it. Did you know that I went to the global conference 3 weeks ago?
I did indeed. I did see some photographs of that event.
Oh, gosh, did you? Okay. I don't think I posted really anything much, a little bit, but Hanoi 2020. I will see you there.
Okay, that sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a plan. So B1G1, we will definitely put the link in the show notes. I'm sure you'd be happy with that, Sonia. It's about businesses for good, and it's an amazing global movement that makes it really easy and energizing to be able to invest in the future of others through the online platform that you have and the projects that you can support and participate in. So, yeah, super, super cool. Okay, so the values came from within you and they were somewhat obvious and some emerged and they may even change shape and, you know, reform themselves, I guess, going forward. Yeah.
I think so. I think we've maybe stumbled upon the essence that is Kids First. Through our values. And I think that a lot of people who have known us for a long time, so, for example, Kathy, we have a young man who is with us. His name is Angus. Angus was with me in my very first week of Kids First back in 2007. He was in our Ready, Set, School program and he's now about to finish year 10. And he just comes in once a fortnight to work with Daniel, one of our speech pathologists, on high school English. He's still there. And we have families who jump in and out of the safety net that is Kids First and have done for more than a decade. And so when they find out about our core values, they say, yeah, well, that's exactly right. That's what you are. That's why we're here. That's why we keep coming back. That's why we bring our other children. That's why we send our family. That's why we send our friends. And we're lucky enough to have a really positive reputation in our community, and that is something that we value. I understand deeply that it takes years to build a good reputation and it can take 5 minutes to destroy it.
Yep.
So we focus hard on providing excellent support and service to our families and just trying to walk the talk, Kathy. At the end of the day, just being authentic, being honest, being genuine, and being non-judgmental, I think is the key.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned a million minutes ago about the morning huddle And yes. then in hearing about your values and your team of 21 souls, I want to ask you a question about communication and mm-hmm. how does communication work through your team?
Communication is sometimes challenging when everybody is so busy. Our daily huddle, which I'm going to be honest, has only really started, we started doing it in April, has changed the connections that we are able to have with one another. It means that, it's for 9 minutes. It doesn't take long. But for one part of the day, we eyeball one another and can share a little slice of our day, which helps us to understand one another's perspectives, gives us opportunities to support one another if it's needed, and it also gives us opportunities to encourage and affirm and thank one another for what we are doing. So whether it's me thanking the team who were part of last Tuesday night's community service seminar for the fabulous job that they did, or thanking a speech pathologist who's running in the city to surf on Sunday and is running in memory of her grandma and is raising money for dementia, and thanking her for the chocolate and raspberry cake that she brought in. On a personal and a professional level, we have those opportunities to communicate with one another. And that makes life so much better than just firing off an email.
So no doubt you have emails and other apps and things going on. Are there any that work better than others?
Look, we are a one-location organisation, so we are literally okay. all together in one spot. We have a centre-based model at the moment, a Kids First, and so we are together all day, every day. So essentially we're basically using email, and we're using Google Drive and things like that to communicate with one another. I use Slack with
my VA. I love Slack.
But the spot where we are at in Brookvale is a little bit fragile when it comes to internet connection.
I think that would cover most of Australia.
I'm keen to get other kind of technology happening, but it's a matter of waiting for the NBN, which is happening in November, and then seeing if that makes any difference to what we can do and how we can.
Gosh. Okay, so the huddle's working well, and then there's a lot of human doorstop conversations and to-ing and fro-ing. It's that natural workplace vibe.
It's a really positive vibe on most days at Kids First. It's because of the personalities that we have there. There are days where everybody's busy. There are days where if I put a jar at my door and collected a dollar every time someone said to me, Sonia,
got a minute?
Sonia,
I know you're busy.
I'd be a millionaire. But that's okay. That's okay. That's part of the role. And for me, I need to find ways to manage that. One of the ways I do that is there are some days in the week where I work from home.
Yeah, absolutely.
To get my head around some of the big stuff.
Yep. That all makes sense. What do you think the next 5 years are going to bring for you all?
Oh, that's really hard to know at the moment. We're really in a state, we're already at a stage of knowing that there's a lot out there that we can do, but trying to work out what that is going to look like, I guess. Obviously, with the launch of School Ready, and I have two other books in the series that I want to write. So we have School Ready, and then we will have High School Ready, and then we will have Life Ready. So it's about those transition points, helping families to navigate that landscape of transitioning from preschool to primary, primary to high school to post-school options. So I'm hopeful that these books will give us an opportunity to have a place at the conversation, the national conversation around kids and children's well-being and families' well-being. I'm hopeful that we will get opportunities to talk with parents and educators about how we can make school easier for everybody who's involved. At a personal level, I love those opportunities to share warmth and encouragement with people. And I've, as I mentioned, I've got a young man who's nearly finished. There's a lot that I've learned over the years as a parent. I've been that lioness who's been out there to, you know, protect my little cub. I know what it feels like to be, have to be the lioness, but I also know what it feels like to be on the other end of the lioness's roar.
to be the raw E.
The raw E. And so if we could help educators to understand the perspective from which parents come, I think that would be a hugely helpful thing for relationships in general. School systems are huge machines, and I'm not naive enough to think that anything is going to change the machine.
May need more than 5 years.
Maybe. But if we could just have a ripple effect across teachers and small communities so that within their context and their environment, things are softening up a little bit and our families are getting a little bit more understanding, a little bit more sometimes
support,
tolerance and support, that would be great. I'd really love for that to happen. I'm keen to explore the opportunities of providing Kids First for Country Kids through telehealth, and that's a project that
we're working
towards. I think that there are many families who are in rural areas who don't have access to the kinds of unique multidisciplinary support that we have at Kids First, and it's just some of the other bits and pieces that we do. So that's on the agenda as well.
As well as just keeping running what we're doing.
Keeping the doors open, the lights on, the love in the air.
At Brookvale, in the big yellow building that we have right next door to the Brookvale Oval, football oval, is still, you know, a big priority for me.
Wonderful. So a five-year pact with a couple more books.
Yep.
Reorienting the education systems, yes. Reaching out to country kids and keeping the business going from strength to strength.
Yes, yes. And at a personal level, maybe getting a few opportunities to know what life is like without a child who goes to school.
Wait till that routine changes.
Yeah, it's a bit frightening, to be quite honest, to feel that the stability of school routines that's been part of our life for 13 years is coming to an end.
It's a mind bend.
Exactly. So all of that's ahead for me personally, and Kids First is hopefully going to go from strength to strength, and I will do my utmost to make sure that every day everybody who walks in our door, regardless of whether they're a child, a parent, a carer, a staff member, they feel the care, kindness, compassion and making a contribution that is part of what I am and part of what we do.
That is just the most perfect spot to finish on. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing up what you're doing and what you stand for. And it's been such a reminder that we need to talk more often. So, jump back in and we'll see what next year looks like and perhaps with this next book.
Yeah, I'd love to. It's a great joy for me just to be able to share. I really value the community of educators and clinicians that I've been fortunate to be part of for such a long time. And I think that together we can make a difference in the world. I really believe that there's a place for every single one of us in our communities. Even when our practices are not very far from one another, there's always a way that we can support one another and be a positive force in the communities that we are part of.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for investing your time right through to the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. If you're running a private practice and keen for more business confidence and management know-how, head on over to our website, nacre.com.au. I'll spell it, nacre.com.au. Over there, you'll find all sorts of business resources and inspiration, blogs, forms, web events, freebies, our virtual conference information, workshops, and more. And don't be shy. Take advantage of the free power call and book yourself into my diary for the chance to have a business chat and to pick my brains. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.